Wake up with Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
Last night, they were doing some talking to Anthony Albanese, Australia's newest Prime Minister. He sat down with some Channel 7 journo for a tell-all interview. I'm like, I need all I know. I already know all I need to know about Anthony Albanese. You know, I know what his musical tastes are because I remember when he sat down for a candid Rage guest hosting night back in 2013 and was talking about, you know, these favourite bands like Nirvana.
Coming up is Nirvana, who I got to see what was then this obscure band, but there was a real buzz about them at the first ever big day out. It went off.
Hearing a middle-aged man talk like that.
He really sells it. He was even better when they got him to do the Rage like voice. He went,
Rage!
Anyway, that was years ago. Now, of course, he's a different Albo. Yeah, he's our Prime Minister. And so he was sharing what it was like to move into the Prime Ministerial House in Sydney, Kirribilli House. And, you know, he's basically saying he wants to be a more friendly, happier Prime Minister because he reckons our previous Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, or ScoMo as he's known, you know, he was a little bit of an angry guy.
One of the things that had always struck me about my predecessor was he seemed to be angry a lot of the time. It's like, mate, you're Prime Minister, cheer up.
Yeah. Albo was like, ScoMo was always flying into a
Rage!
So Albo wants to go in a totally different direction. But he did have nice things to say about ScoMo because apparently when he moved into Kirribilli House, there was a letter left for Albo by the previous Prime Minister.
He did.
What did he say?
He did. Oh, it's a private letter.
Where did you leave it?
Just on the desk at Kirribilli. That's a tradition.
Yeah. Thank God it's not the same tradition they have in Canberra of leaving stuff on desks.
Hopefully, it was like, what do you reckon it was? It was like, I've hidden sardines somewhere in the house.
Don't forget to feed Barnaby twice a week. it's like you leave instructions for the pets. He was showing us around the house as well because, like, I don't know if cameras have been inside Kirribilli House before.
I haven't seen in there before, no.
It was about as exciting as you would expect.
These have all been here. They're part of the National Gallery. If you look at the desk here, it was given by the Duke and Duchess of Gloucester in 1935. Well, this is the dining room. This is where we had the dinner with the premiers and chief ministers.
Most of Australia's like...
rolling, yeah.
It just reminded me of the Box Factory tour on The Simpsons. I was just waiting for ScoMo to go.
Here's my office. If you will direct your eyes to the floor, you'll see a yellow line. Follow it. It will lead you around my desk and back out the door.
I was just waiting for Albo to do that.
Have a look. Very good. Photos.
Again, trying to humanise Albo a little bit more, they went, okay, he's got to be into sport. You know, ScoMo was a massive Sharkies
fan.
Yeah, he loved his league. Albo, he's more into the tennis.
Okay.
So apparently he wasn't just jumping on the Kyrgios bandwagon, though. He put his racket where his mouth is, got out onto the court with his son. In his little tennis shorts. And actually, at one point, he went to serve and had to tell the cameras to back it up.
One big white
thing. You might need to go back just a little bit.
Whoa, all right.
Stand back, Albo's about to serve. I was more like, the way the camera was, it was really low and it was really close. I'm like, yeah, maybe move the camera back because otherwise we're going to see Albo slazengers. Like, I know it's a tell-all, but not a show-all if we could just stop that. So, yeah, I don't know. It wasn't really, you know, the most exciting of interviews for a Sunday night.
Yeah.
Although in Albo's opinion, I'm sure he'd be saying this.
It went off.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
Chatting with one of my mates over the weekend and his Toyota Camry, we've had some good memories in that car, but he got it when it was brand new in the year 2000. It's now 2022. He still has this same Toyota Camry.
What sort of memories do you have in this car? Surely you didn't go cruising in this car. You're like,
From time to time. I think about
Camrys really turn the ladies' heads, if you know what I'm saying.
Except I always got the shaft, and we did do some cruise in that car because I'd always managed to sit in the side where there was no crank for the window. So I couldn't mind the window down. I'd be the one stuck in the back going, no.
God.
But yeah,
so you weren't allowed to get like Mexican food when you were when you were cruising in your mate's Camry. It's like no Mexican.
Yeah,
food.
22 years later though, it's done. He sent me a photo of the weekend posing in front of him. I'm like, geez, you've still got that car. He's actually given it to his one of his nephews now. He's continuing on tradition. I said, how many K's are on the clock of that car? Like, if you don't mind me asking, he goes, oh, just over 400 and something thousand K's. Jeez.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a Toyota Camry, a 2005 model, and I got that in 2010.
Yeah.
And, well, 12 years later, it's got well over 300,000 Ks. And when I got it, it was just under 70, I think. But, yeah, I was working in a job out West Queensland at one point, and I was, just driving just kilometres and kilometres a day.
Yeah.
And so, but now that I've moved to Bega and I live like 2 minutes walk from the station... it's kind of evening out now,
Now you've got to take your car out for a drive just so the battery doesn't go flat.
Pretty much, yeah.
That's it.
I
it's
just
like,
have to keep it ticking over. But it's been a great car. I actually, you ever do the thing where you talk to your car? Like I got out of the Camry the other
day. Every morning I yell at it.
And I looked at it and it's looking to be a little shabby. It's unwashed. The front bumper's a little wonky because I hit a rear a few years back and the fog light got knocked out. And I looked out and I go, I'm really sorry, Camry. You've had a rough ride, but you've served me well.
I have a chat with mine every morning, a pep talk to it. But on the back seat of my car, this is how often I only take my car to work and back, that's it. I actually had like spider webs on the back of the rest on the passenger side, like in the back of the car. I'm like, ooh, you have to clean them out.
Yeah.
Get spiders.
The Camry's more of a home to spiders now than it is a vehicle for me. But 1-300-92-1250.
Yeah.
We've got Nick and Bateman's Bay on the line. Good morning, Nick. How many Ks of has your car done, man?
411,000.
Okay. And you're not a truck driver, are you, Nick?
Yeah.
No, not at all. This is my own private car, and I've had it since brand new.
Oh, what kind of car is it?
Toyota Kluger.
Okay, and you got it when it rolled out of the dealership. What year was that?
2008.
Okay. Right. So 14 years, you've done over 400,000 Ks. How did you rack up so many Ks, Nick?
Kids sport, mate.
Do they appreciate it, though? They all like professional sports men and women now?
Oh, well, yeah, one of them's played pro basketball and...
oh, wow.
Yeah, the other one's still playing basketball and, so mainly basketball and a bit of rugby.
Yeah, so if you're taking them now to different sports with the price of fuel, you're going to have to get, they're going to have to get paid. You're going to have to get yourself paid a little bit, you'd imagine, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah, well, even now, just going to training in Nowra every week.
Oh, yeah.
And then games on the weekends wherever we are in the States. So.
I'm sure they appreciate it, though. I'm sure one day when they're holding a trophy aloft, they'll like, thanks to Dad's Kluger.
Yeah.
Hey, I would order the Kluger. Yeah.
Give him a pat on the back and send him an invoice.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Well, thanks for calling in, Nick.
Thanks, Dad.
Have a good one.
See ya.
You would hope if they become pro ballers and they end up in the NBA, first thing they do, buy a replacement Kluger for Dad, or buy him something.
Yeah, I remember when I was growing up, when there was a few kids at my school that were really good at sport, and they'd go to the next level, and they'd all like carpool and that. You see someone having an envelope, petrol money, and there'd be like $5 in there, and that was a lot of money back in the early 90s. Imagine petrol money now to be like a check or a deposit on a house
or
something.
Bitcoin, here you go.
Yeah.
Oh, well, even that doesn't have any value anymore. But we got Susan from Maria. Good morning, Susan. Do you have a very well-travelled car?
Oh, very well-travelled. I have done probably... 500,000.
Wow, half a million Ks on the odometer. What sort of car is it, Susan?
I've got a Commodore.
Okay.
Oh,
what year is it?
2004. I got it when it was 50,000 Ks on the clock.
Okay.
Oh, amazing. Have you got a name for the car as well? Have you named it Old Betsy or something like that? Or
I like to call it Paddy.
Paddy!
Because he brings me good luck. He's been very, very, very lucky to my car. No breakdowns, nothing seriously ever wrong with it.
And how did you rack up that many Ks, Susan? Did you, do a tour around Australia?
Yeah.
Were you, the Leyland brothers just driving all over the countryside?
that's quite a bit.
No, I'm a worker. I clean houses privately. So it's travelling between clients, and I clean three schools every night. So obviously travelling out to schools and, lots of travelling. And then in my free time, I like to take the kids out on weekends, so we do a little bit of travelling just in a weekend. But
I would imagine over the years your friends have told you, get rid of the car, get a new car, we want a new car, Mum.
Yeah, but they do say that, but it is so reliable, it's a really good car.
I'll give them Paddy away anytime soon.
Yeah, keep Paddy for a bit longer.
My first car was a Camaro, so you could understand going from a Camaro to a Holden.
Bit of an upgrade.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Thanks for sharing the story with us, Susan.
Good stuff. Have a good day, mate.
You too. Stay safe on the road. See ya.
Bye.
Right.
Yeah, we've got some big numbers on here as well. There's one
on Facebook.
There's one number on Facebook that's bigger than that. Corey says 642,000 and still going.
Hello.
That's quite a few. But there's actually a guy who was in my year at school who I know is a farmer. His name's Clinton. He's got a V6 Amarok. And in 16 months, he's clocked up 194,000 Ks.
Oh, my God.
In 16 months.
What the hell?
He's like, oh, I'm on my third car this decade.
It's like these days, just with the price of petrol, it's like even just taking it down the driveway, like, that's a pretty big trip. Like, that's
all we can afford. An invoice.
Yeah.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
Well, a huge weekend of tennis. Matt Ebden and Max Purcell wrapping up the men's doubles Grand Slam title for Wimbledon. Well done to those two guys.
Yeah, but some Aussie success there.
Yeah, well done to those
two. Didn't dislocate a finger while celebrating the win either, which was good.
No, they just lay on their back on the grass because it's such beautiful grass. It's worth a fortune.
Again, that's when I watch them do that, I'm like, hey, you're going to hurt yourself. You don't have to flop under the ground. A
couple of bindies. Yeah. And we can get off there, turn the sprinklers on. But Nick Kyrgios, all the attention was on him last night versus Novak Djokovic. Look, Leighton Hewitt in the men's was the last time a male won the singles title, an Australian male, in 2002. So it's been a long time coming, but unfortunately we have to wait a little bit longer because Novak got over the line last night. Yeah, his fourth Wimbledon title in a row.
Yeah, okay.
He knows what he's doing there. And
yeah, he knows his way around the court there.
He sits behind Rafael Nadal now. He's got 22 Grand Slams. Novak's got 21. So he's in outright second.
Okay.
So, yeah, he's going.
You kind of knew it was going to end up this way. Yeah. You know, even though Kyrgios is an Aussie and even though he's had a checkered past, I think most people were like, yeah, we hope he wins. But physically, while he's got the talent, mentally, his mental game is just not there. And he just refuses to get a coach or anyone to help him with this. So this is how it's always going to be this way. Because he's going up against people that are just constantly have that support around them. And it's one of those, tennis is one of those games where it's like you're one-on-one, so you've got to have that mental game just as much as your physical game.
Absolutely. There'll be a lot of tired eyes, though, I would imagine, here on the South Coast, because he actually won the first set, Nick Kyrgios. So all of a sudden, people would have been like,
Hang on. He's got a chance.
Yeah.
He's
unfortunately, though, he then lost the next three to lose it 3-1, so I didn't need to go to a fifth set. But, yeah, well done to Nick Kyrgios, though. But typical Nick Kyrgios fashion, though, getting a little bit sidetracked during the match. There was one point he was yelling out to his box to ask for a bit of help or something like that, but it's like they can't really coach. They're not allowed to coach or say anything.
No, there's been other players who have been busted doing that. Their coaches have been busted.
Don't know why you're even yelling at that, but the funniest part was he was actually yelling with the referee, the chair umpire, about a drunk fan.
Oh, right.
Supposedly giving it to him. And it wasn't a male drunk fan. It was a female drunk fan.
Distracting me when I'm serving in a Wimbledon final. Well, there's no other bigger occasion. You didn't believe me. And then she did it again. And it nearly cost me the game.
I don't know which one it is.
I know exactly which one it is.
So tell me.
It's the one in the dress with the dogs. The one that looks like she's had about 700 drinks, bro.
It looks like she's had about 700 drinks, bro. Amazing.
See, if it was me in that situation, if I was on centre court and there was a drunk woman in the crowd making a scene, it'd be my mum.
That's right.
She's had 700 drinks, bro. I know this. Get her out.
So you're saying at the end of the match, if you won or lost, that the chair would have been empty, would have had like a Brad Blissett's mum.
Yeah, pretty much.
But yeah, unfortunately lost the match there. And the question came up in the post-match interview. They're saying, hey, will we see you back here again? This was Nick Kyrgios' response.
Absolutely not. I'm so tired, honestly. I definitely need a well-earned vacation after this one. So I'm just really happy with this result. It's probably the best of my career. And hopefully, maybe one day I'll be here again. But I don't know about that. But
So he's like, I don't know, maybe not. But Novak reckons he's going to be back there.
Nick, you'll be back. They think you are a phenomenal tennis player, an athlete, an amazing talent. I mean, you've been hearing all of that for many years. Everything is starting to come together for you, so I'm sure we're going to see much of you in the later stages of a Grand Slam, man. And I never thought I'm going to say so many nice things about you, considering...
They've had their to and fro's over the years. I think Novak was like, Nick, you'll definitely be back because they don't care as much about the vaccinations here as they do back in your home country.
Yeah.
So, vaxxed or unvaxxed, it doesn't matter at Wimbledon.
So, Could there be a new bromance between these two? Who knows? I guess time will just tell.
They'll be playing doubles in the future.
Imagine that. You know, one will be hitting the Lions person in the throat, the other one will be throwing the tennis racket. Absolute chaos. But there was a bet before the match saying the winner buys the beers. So it's not all bad for Nick Kyrgios. You know, the loser's check is $1.8 million. It's not every day you win $1.8 million and someone else shouts the beers.
That's true.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsie.